At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Ashley, you'll find colorful furniture that brings your home to life. Ashley makes it easier than ever to express your personal style with an array of looks in fun trending hues to choose from earth tones to vibrant colors to calming blues and greens. Ashley has pieces for every room in the house in the season's most sought-after shades. A more colorful life starts at Ashley. Shop in-store, online today. Ashley, for the love of home.
Irish O'Fell likes to be kind of like the constant. He's the Polaris of warchant.com. And so if we get out of whack on the North Pole or the South Pole side in terms of arguments, Ira likes to test those theories. And so, as you can see at the bottom of the screen, is it a raw deal for Randy Shannon? Is he getting fair treatment for what Florida State is going through right now on the recruiting trail, or could it be some other factors? So, Ira, hello, how are you? And you've been consuming this content left and right. You're the managing editor of the damn multimedia enterprise, so you've been seeing a lot of this. What's been going through your mind as you've been seeing criticism over the last week for Coach Shannon?
Yeah, man. Look, you know, I'm not going to pretend that I cover recruiting. People that know our site and know what we do know that that's, you know, I mean, I pay attention to recruiting just like everybody else on our staff. We have to. We cover Florida State. But obviously Michael and Matt are our guys, are our experts in linebacker recruiting. And so Michael was a little critical of Randy last week. I know Jeff and you guys on your show were critical of Randy Shannon last week for missing out on Tavion Wallace, the third linebacker that they missed. But as I was watching all this, and I get it, man, like, you know, I am, if there were approval ratings after those videos, I'm sure those guys got 99.9% approval ratings, and I will not get a 99.9 on what I'm going to say. But yeah, man, it's not really about being a contrarian. It's just about kind of seeing things from a little bit different perspective. I didn't, you know, as we all know, like, I didn't grow up a Florida State fan, so sometimes I'm not as emotional. I'm not in the weeds of recruiting, so I probably have a different perspective there. So I just wanted to kind of, you know, I reached out to you because I just want to get out a different perspective that I don't know if many fans are going to agree with or not. We'll see. We'll see what the response is. But it's just some things that I think that people need to pay attention to with the context. I think there's a lot of context with this situation. And I'm not here to just defend Randy Shannon blindly or Florida State's linebacker recruiting. But I do think there's some context that, you know, maybe I can help bring to the overall discussion.
As I understand it, you brought a 3-point plan to convince the folks too that they might need to pause for just a minute. Right. Take a breath, everybody. Take a breath. I will serve Ira somewhere in the middle of myself, an arbiter of the people, not an arbiter of our staff, because if I did that, I might be throwing things on this side of the screen, but I'll be an arbiter of the people. Go ahead. What you got?
Yeah, I do have three main points, as I told you before. And you know, I think they're not all weighted equally. But you know, I'm going to start off with one thing I do want to point out. I felt like as I consumed some of this content, as I, you know, watched our videos and read what people are saying on our message boards and also on social media, like, it felt like if you didn't know anything else, if you just watched some of these reactions, you would have felt like Florida State hasn't signed a decent linebacker or had a decent linebacker on the field in years. And I'm like, I could have sworn they signed Blake Nicholson last year. And Blake Nicholson was a top 20 linebacker in the country, and they think he's going to be a superstar, like the staff does. I mean, I think he looks like a really nice player. They think he's going to be a superstar. And while Randy Shannon was a linebacker's coach, they brought him in last year. I think Justin Cryer, who they brought in last year, is going to be a really good college football player. That was kind of a weird situation. He fell to them late. He went in the portal after things went off the rails at Northwestern. But they did get him. And even with, you know, I'm sure the people who really pay attention to recruiting are going to say, well, does Randy get credit for Blake Nicholson? Derek Ray, FSU's general manager, is from out west. They had a connection there that helped. And that's fine. But I also would say if Blake Nicholson and his parents didn't like the idea of playing for Randy Shannon, they would say, hey, Derek, we love you, but we're not coming to play for a linebackers coach we don't like. And so there's two different parts of, you know, the big picture that we'll touch on later. But, you know, it's not just about being a great recruiter. It's also about being a coach that that players want to play for. And again, Justin Cryer, I think he's going to be really good. Blake Nicholson's going to be really good. And well, the verdict's out on the guys they brought in this most recent signing class, the guys that came in the spring. We'll see. They were not very highly rated. They're Randy specials, as people like to say. They look pretty good. I mean, they look physically, they look the part. So we'll see how that goes. But I did want to say that I just felt like it's not like they haven't brought in, it's we're in this desert where they haven't brought in any good linebackers. The two of the three linebackers they brought in last year, and DeMarco Ward, we just haven't seen enough of. But Nicholson and Cryer, I've seen enough to tell you that they're going to be good football players. So that was kind of the first point, and I'll move on to point two and three if unless you have any pushback there.
No, you the Derek Gray thing was going to be part of, you know, the allure of getting a Nicholson from a different time zone across the country to come to Florida State, but point taken. And Cryer, like, the portal counts too. This would be something where I would defend Adam Fuller, you know, in the last year or two. It's like, hey, hang on a minute. The portal counts. Or you could even, if you want to, you know, right, down to a position coach, Papuchis, John Papuchis. You know, Florida State hasn't been dominant by any stretch in the prep rank, in the prep ranks, in terms of bringing in edge rushers, but they have been more than dominant in the portal. The Derek Gray thing would have been what I would have countered with, what most people would have brought up for sure.
Yeah, and that's fine. And I get it. But it's also like Derek Gray could be the most charming person in the world. He got the best relationships in the world. But if they didn't have a good linebackers coach, that Blake Nicholson's not coming to Florida State. The other thing is to accentuate, and I agree 100% with your point, you know, Cam Riley has been a starter in the past at Auburn. He's played a lot of college football, committed to NC State, could have gone to a lot of different schools, chose to come to Florida State. And again, Randy Shannon's a part of that. Sean Murphy, Alabama linebacker, came to transfer to Florida State. So, and they have brought in others as well. And I think they have a 4-star recruit in this coming class. Point one was just basically, this has not been like this wasteland. And Tatum Bethune signing with Randy Shannon after he played for him at UCF, he comes here. And Tatum Bethune was a huge part of what they did this past season. So that's kind of, you know, I just want to bring that context up a little bit real quick.
Yeah, Tatum didn't run to some other school. He could have chosen any other school in America if he transferred, but he decided to come to the one where Randy Shannon was. So that does say something. I'm not sure that I'm off of the bully pulpit yet, but go ahead. What's next?
So number two is, man, that Florida State, I think, has a linebacker problem. And it's been going on for a long, long time. This is not a this is where I would say it's not a Randy Shannon issue. And so, like, I think he's getting some of the heat for some dissatisfaction, for sure, Jeff Cameron and others have, about the linebacker position of Florida State. Just want to throw out a couple of facts for you, for you, Tom, and I wrote them down so I don't misquote them. So, in the last, well, first of all, do you know the last time Florida State had a linebacker drafted?
Oh man, I don't think Matthew Thomas was. If he was, then stop me.
He was not drafted.
Was it Terrence Smith? Who was it?
Telvin Smith.
Telvin. Okay.
2014.
Yeah.
10 years ago. It's the last time Florida State had a linebacker drafted, not drafted in the first round, just drafted at all. So the last 8 linebackers they've had drafted, they had a good run there in the 2007 to 2014. In 2014, Telvin Smith in the 5th round, Vince Williams in the 6th round, went one year earlier. A year before that, Nick Moody went in the 6th round. They haven't had a linebacker in the first 3 rounds of the NFL draft. Florida State University, home of Derek Brooks and Marvin Jones, all these great linebackers, that it's like Florida State's birthright to have great linebackers. They haven't had a linebacker go in the first 3 rounds since 2007, 17 years. So is this a Randy Shannon problem? They haven't, their signings at linebacker in the last 10 years. Blake Nicholson was a top 20 linebacker nationally. Before him, you had the great Xavier Peters in 2018. Who was here for about 10 minutes.
Yep.
Before him, you had D-Jack, Dontavius Jackson, in 2016. He was number 12. Xavier Peters was 16 industry ranking. The last time they had a top 10 linebacker, like one of the top 10 linebackers in the country, also 2014, 10 years ago, Delvin Purifoy was the number 10 linebacker in the country. We need to maybe revisit who did those rankings and also Jimbo Fisher for signing because he didn't do anything at Florida State. And Matthew Thomas, the year before that, 2013, was the number two linebacker in the country. So my point to you is, there's a couple of reasons I think Florida State has not recruited well at linebacker, but I wouldn't put Randy Shannon at the top of that list. Number one is they haven't produced. Like they have, this has not been a defense. Charles Kelly ran a 4.25. Adam Fuller runs a 4.25. The linebackers, I feel like, partially have been marginalized in this defense. A few times last year, they had three linebackers out there. You had Bethune, Deloach, and they put Lundy out there against really power running teams. But for the most part, it's two linebackers in normal downs and one linebacker sometimes in passing downs. So I don't think Florida State is seen as a place where if we're just going to go have success at linebacker, Florida State, I don't know how many kids being recruited right now know Matthew Thomas, have any idea who Matthew Thomas was. The last time Florida State has signed an elite linebacker, certainly the last time they've had a linebacker drafted. So, again, I'm not saying that excuses what's going on right now. I'm just saying I don't know why the outrage is all directed at Randy Shannon. Like some of the comments that were made on social media and on our site was like, This is an outrage. The Florida State's not signing an elite linebackers. I mean, they haven't signed elite linebackers in over a decade. So that was my second point.
That sounds like that might be your strongest point in terms of what really got you looking through the books. And I remember, was it Lawrence Timmons in 07? Was that? Or
Yeah.
It might have been. If not, he was 06.
Yeah, Lawrence Timmons was 07. He was a first rounder. And Buster Davis. In 2007, they had Lawrence Timmons and Buster Davis.
Yeah, those were good times.
After that, in 2008, Geno Hayes, sixth round. Nice NFL player. May he rest in peace. Dakota Watson went in the seventh round. And Nigel Bradham went in the fourth round. Then it was Moody, Vince Williams, and Telvin Smith, and then nothing else. So, I don't know why this is entirely. I do think a lot of it's the fact that the style of defense they play. I think Florida State's easy to recruit against. Like if you're recruiting linebackers, I think Florida State's really easy to recruit against, and not necessarily because of Randy Shannon, but because of you've got a lack of NFL kids want to know, are you going to put me in the NFL?
Yeah.
And Florida State has not proven that in a long freaking time. The other thing is, players see who you're recruiting and who you're signing. And it's like, how do you break through? Now, will they break through? Can Randy Shannon, is he part of the solution? I don't know that. I'm just saying he's not the entire problem.
Yeah, fair. This sounds, as you're going through, Florida State believes it's their birthright to do this or that. It reminds me a lot of the wide receiver discussion,
Right.
And Florida State, obviously, we pride ourselves, and I'll say we, because as a kid, we all remember Peter Warwick and Lavernius Coles and E.G. Green and
on and on, not Kez McCorvey.
You go on, and then there's this dearth where you feel like there were a ton of dudes, and there really weren't, and you look at the NFL draft board, and you say, well, what gives? When's the last time Florida State? I mean, this was a discussion we had with Coach Dossie. This a discussion that we had with Ron Dugans, and Dugans broke through. I think the portal was the path, really, for Ron to break through, because you start to see some guys go graduate up the ranks, get paid, and then Hakeem Williams magically says yes. A player of that caliber says yes to Florida State. And Elijah Moore, I've got high hopes for out of the high school ranks here shortly. But it's fascinating. There is a bit of a parallel path there. But one's a null. one's a null and one isn't. And I think that's part of it.
That very well might be part of it. But I also think, like, you touched on something else that wasn't going to be one of my top three points, but I think it's a great point. I guess where I get frustrated sometimes is we did this whole dance with Ron Dugans, right? We did this whole dance with Odell Higgins. Just a few years ago, the people who really care about recruiting wanted both of them fired, even though they're Noles, even though they're former All-Americans of Florida State. Like, we love you guys, but we don't want you recruiting for Florida State anymore. That was the consensus. Now Odell is getting love on Twitter. Like, it's this, where did this come from? Like, because he's got a couple of 4-star defensive line signings, which is awesome. But, 2 years ago, everybody wanted to run him out of town. Same thing with Ron Dugan. So I guess that's my thing also is, like, I understand, getting emotional, but also if you just did this with two other assistant coaches and you've had to kind of walk that back and now you're celebrating them, would you be a little bit would you be a little bit more patient the next time? But, again, Randy Shannon doesn't have the vested years with Florida State as those guys do.
Correct. And I think Odell and Dugans were a little bit different because Odell has had waves of success at Florida State. Right. So this is me personally speaking. I wasn't.
No, I appreciate it. Yeah.
So for Odell, I wasn't quite as cutthroat because he had been. I always thought that Odell's old argument is ridiculous. He's not even 60 years old. There's tons of dudes who are way older. And yeah. He's really not that. He had bad knees and he fixed them. Okay. Yeah. He's not that old.
He had bad knees and a gray beard.
He's just been here from a really young age. That doesn't mean he's actually old. And then for Coach Dugans, though, it was an extension of an issue that, you know, he inherited. And we hadn't seen the track record here. He had a reputation of being a badass recruiter, and it took a little bit to get that machine going. But it looks like it finally is. And then on the other side of it, what I would say is Coach Woodson, I think even though he took that job in the SEC era and left Florida State, I think, you know, that might have been a coaching staff choice that was made because defensive back recruiting wasn't where they wanted it to be. And maybe the same thing with a linebackers coach in Coach Marv. Now, that's speculation on my point, but I do think that there are examples of both where the coaching staff had finally, or Mike Norvell finally said, hey, we need to get better in this regard. And it did work out at the defensive back core because Pat Surtain has been unbelievable at hauling in defensive backs. And that track record has been like overnight unbelievable for Florida State. So I think what fans might say is, well, if you can do it for that position group, why can't you do it everywhere? And that's the natural greed probably of being a Florida State fan and somebody who expects a top five, top seven, top eight recruiting class every year.
That is going to be what I address in my third point. So great segue there, Tom.
Oh, well, I cleared up for you.
Real quick before that, though.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Ashley, you'll find colorful furniture that brings your home to life. Ashley makes it easier than ever to express your personal style with an array of looks in fun trending hues to choose from earth tones to vibrant colors to calming blues and greens. Ashley has pieces for every room in the house in the season's most sought-after shades. A more colorful life starts at Ashley. Shop in-store or online today. Ashley, for the love of home.
Also, just to kind of follow up on what you're saying about the receiver recruiting, you know, again, I did an interview with Dexter Carter here a year ago or so when his son committed to Florida State. And one of the things that Dexter said was he wasn't sure about Florida State. He wasn't going to tell his son not to consider Florida State because they have not produced NFL wide receivers. The only reason he changed his tune, and Dexter Carter is a Knoll through and through, had played for Florida State, loves Florida State, cheers for Florida State every time they play, but he didn't really want his son to be a receiver at Florida State because they had not put any receivers in the NFL. Again, that just goes to that point. This is a guy who is a diehard Knoll and was concerned about his son. Now we'll see if Florida State ends up getting him. He's opened up his recruiting process, but that's a diehard Knoll who was looking at the fact that FSU wasn't producing NFL receivers. So kind of going back to that last point, if your kid or your friend or family member is a linebacker, and other schools are pointing out, man, when's the last time Florida State put a linebacker in the league? Is it Derek Brooks? You know, just sarcastically, that's going to be a challenge. So my point is, you know, Keon and Johnny, that those guys kind of, I think, legitimized, I think, Ron Dugans and Hakeem Williams and Destin Hill, if he has the career we think he's going to have, that's all going to change. But it's hard to recruit against them. It's hard to break through that. It's not necessarily about you. It's sometimes it's about those circumstances.
Yeah. And this is it's a tangent. It'll be a short one and we'll get to point three. I've got a lot of gripes with Deion Sanders. Telling Noel Devine not to come to Florida State was not one of those gripes. Like, I understood why he said, don't go at the time, the offensive line situation of Florida State, the track record, it didn't make sense. Now that's going back to my college days. I'm sure there's some younger viewers who are like, who? So what's point three?
So I'm going to take the other side of what you just brought up, because I don't know if I ever really bought into the idea that Marv and Woodson were pushed out, because I don't know how hard Mike Norvell fought to keep them, but I also don't know if I believe they were pushed out because they both got really good jobs. In fact, promotions. Like Marcus Woodson became a co-defensive coordinator and made more money. Marv went back to play for his coach and is in a really good position. I think he made more money. So I know that there's a feeling that Florida fans wanted them gone, and then they left and took other jobs, and maybe Mike Norvell didn't fight to keep them. Fine, that's possible. But my point is, if you look at how Mike Norvell has built his staff, right? How many elite recruiters has he brought into Florida State? So you mentioned Patrick Surtain. I think he has a chance to be an elite recruiter. He's apparently has a spell over some of those kids in South Florida. They've done an amazing job. Kids like him. They believe in him. He played at the highest level. I think he's a huge reason they got Marvin Jones to transfer in and Earl Little to transfer in, the guys who played for him in high school. They've obviously recruited well at DBs. I love the DBs he's been bringing in since he's been here. It's been – you can complain all you want about K.J. Bolden not signing for Florida State. I think the DBs they brought in these last 2 years have been incredible.
Yeah.
To echo your point, I think they're going to be great at DB for a long time. Patrick Surtain, I think, has a chance to be an elite recruiter. He had never done it before Mike Norvell hired him. So it's not like he was a mercenary recruiter that he brought in just to be a recruiter. He liked him as a person. Like, this is an exercise for anybody watching this. Think back to any interview you've seen with Mike Norvell where he talks about hiring a coach, or those assistant coaches when they talk about how they were hired. I don't think any of them have been hired because they were good recruiters. Like Alex Atkins, I think, is an elite recruiter. Patrick Surtain. I think Tony Tokarz may down the road be considered that way. He obviously gets a lot of credit for Luke Kromenhawk, and I think he's done a really good job with there. But otherwise, man, Chris Thompson was not brought in to be a recruiter.
Right.
John Papuchis, I don't think, was brought in to be a recruiter. As we just said, Odell and Dugans have had their moments where people have been mad at them. If you go across the staff, this is not elite recruiting staff. And the reason I think we need to recognize that is, how does he build his staff? I think Mike Norvell, this is my opinion, Mike Norvell has never told me this. I'm not saying that this is a fact. I'm just observing the 5 years since he's been here. I think he wants assistant coaches who are in line with him, have the same values as him, are good teachers, are good talent evaluators, are good coaches, and are not going to be a problem. Like he doesn't have the mercenaries on his staff. There are a lot of guys. There's a couple guys on that staff at Arkansas that got the linebacker that went there that have more perception of being elite recruiters than Florida State does. And so there's a feeling, why don't we have those guys? Why don't we hire those guys? That's not what he's ever done. So my point is, if Randy Shannon left after next season, we can discuss whether or not the play would be better. I think you could make a strong case that the linebacker play, and I think you'd agree with this, linebacker play and the defense overall, maybe not, has gotten a lot better since he's been on this staff. But is he going to go get an elite recruiter? Like Mike Norvell maybe he will. Maybe this will be the time he says, you know what, I've got to get an elite recruiter. But that really hasn't been his MO. I think he looks at his overall staff as, I've got support staff people, directors of high school relations and player relations and football relations and assistant directors of all those and recruiting staff, this burgeoning recruiting staff that make the connections with these high school coaches to get the kids on campus. And I think that's his blueprint, is get those kids on campus and I'm going to close them. I think Mike Norvell thinks he's the recruiter of the coaching staff, and not that he's a glory hound. I just think he believes that his message, which is come here, you're not going to love me, but you're going to work hard. We're going to make you better as a player and as a person. I think that resonates with the fans or with the families of the players. I also think that he has a staff that echoes that same message, and it's an overall philosophy. I think if he went out and got some mercenary recruiter that people, I think, see on these lists of, oh, this is the great recruiter in college football, I don't know that they would fit in what Mike Norvell is trying to do it. So that would be my last point. Even if you replace Randy Shannon, you guys got your wish. I think he'd go get a really good linebackers coach that you might not think is a great recruiter. So that's my third point, Tom.
That's fair. What I would say is, in the grand scheme, I agree with you. I would get specific to this situation because it feels like one that they've had a few of in Coach Norvell's time here. Now, you can, after I'm done, maybe you could say word to direct your ire to his office. Don't direct it to
100%.
Because you know, the names that they were involved with and on the short list for at this specific position this year were unlike any year before. This was the chance to shut everybody up if you're Coach Shannon. And it's not about Derek Ray. It's not about anybody else. It's because when you're in on Gavin Nix or Rainey Sale or Alford or obviously Tavion Wallace, and I know there's, you know, this cycle is not over. Like, so there is.
Yeah, the number one linebacker in the country, Ty Jackson, just announced.
Correct.
And I'm not pushing that. I don't expect them to get him. As I said, they haven't gotten a top 10 linebacker in a decade, let alone the number one linebacker in the country. But no, you're right. They definitely raised the bar of what they were going after and what they got in the mix for. They didn't close any of those deals. And I get it. There's frustration there. I would also say, look at these cases. Like, Rainey Sale was committed to Washington before he opened things back up. They had a coaching change. He opened things back up and decided, you know what, at the end of the day, I do want to stay home. Tavion Wallace, the thing that really I think was he, I think to me, Tavion Wallace was the kerosene on this fire. And I get it, because in a lot of the interviews, he's been saying that Florida State was number one. Florida State stood out. It wasn't like he was, if you go back and read his quotes, it's not like he was ever like, oh man, it's Florida State and everybody else. It's just, you know, I like these schools. He always mentioned Arkansas as one of the schools. People didn't pay attention, but Florida State, you know, is ahead. If you watch his interview with the Phillip Dukes with On Three, the interview he posted as soon as he committed, the kid basically admitted he was playing Florida State. Like, he said, you know, he goes, I've been talking to the DC at Arkansas about how we're going to shock the world. Like, this was kind of a plan, not to the Travis Hunter level, but, and I thought it was weird. I tweeted about the time. It was a weird, to me, it was a weird dynamic, because this was not a kid who was like, super like Travis Hunter, man, wants the attention. Like, he wants the spotlight. He was doing live streams for his recruiting process, and that swerve was set up in a crazy way to sort of embarrass Florida State. I think there was a lot that it was not just about shocking the world. It was about embarrassing Florida State in the process. I don't think that was this kid's thing, but I do think he wanted to. I think he was committed to Arkansas for a long time. And so those quotes, so where people read those quotes and say, well, you said Florida State was number one. How do we lose him? How do we let him off the hook? My point, I don't think he was ever on the hook. Right. I think he was going to go to Arkansas, but he liked, you know, kind of having some drama because he did want to shock the world. So again, it just, you know, I don't know that these situations, and I don't know much at all about the Nick situation, so I'm not going to speak about that. But those two, I don't know that I'm that mad at Randy Shannon personally. But to your other point, though, yeah, man, at the end of the day, if you don't like the way this recruiting staff is built and you don't like the way Mike Norvell recruits, and if they don't get a top 10 class this year overall, yeah, man, that's a complaint for Mike Norvell. I don't think it's all about Randy Shannon.
Correct. I don't think it's none about Randy Shannon. I think that's where when we discuss this stuff out, hash it out, there's a middle ground there. I think – so there's a couple of factors that influence the ire. Travis Hunter is still one of them. You know, Bolden is still one of them, Ira.
I would say. If, you know? It's clear that it seems to be a weakness of the staff that they don't know when they're being played.
Right. Yes.
But I also don't know how do you fix that? Like, what do you do? Do you just say, you know what, I'm going to stop recruiting you number one safety in the country who's committed to me because I'm worried you might be playing me? Like, well, what do you do in that situation?
Correct. Well, I think it's an existential question for a Florida State fan. It's like, why is it us? Why are we getting played at this level? Like, other schools, I mean, Georgia was in on Tavion and they didn't get him too, but it feels like Florida State is always front and center when this happens. Now, again, that's like, you know, a fan saying, well, our offensive line is the worst. Like, every fan base believes their offensive line is the worst. So there's some kind of self-fulfilling nature to it. But also at the same time, when you're making calculations, Ira, and you're just wrong consistently across multiple positions, people are going to be on edge. And I think what also hurt in this situation was the sequencing. If Tavion went first, and then it was Nix and then Rainey Sale, and Tavion chooses Arkansas, my personal gripe is, I wonder if they don't double down and make a better offer, pitch, whatever they needed to do, to what maybe one of those two linebackers, and they come home with a prospect. It's just, what hurts is it almost felt like well, when Rainey Sale commits back to Washington, well, no big deal. Watch out in 2 days' time. And then Knicks chooses Miami. We didn't really feel like we were going to get him. Watch what happens in 24 hours and Florida State gets their guy. And it culminates with strike three. Like, Tavion wasn't strike one in the sequence. Of course he had to be the final step. He couldn't have been in the middle either. He had to be the last one. And it feels like you come away with nothing. And my question that I can't know the answer to, I can't, is if Tavion went first in that order, does Florida State come away with one of the other two? Because maybe they make a last second pitch. And that would come back to, damn it. If you know, if you were sure, if you're like, well, it's gravy if we get these other two because we're going to get Tavion. Well, that was a hell of a thing, man. And that's, I think that's where you can hear it. That's where the frustration comes from. It's like, we've done that a few times now, and it's not always Randy, but man, it's he just was the latest example of that same kind of frustration.
No, that's yeah. No, I think you're probably accurate on that. And again, I'm not trying to say that people shouldn't be frustrated about that course of events, because of the way it did play out was frustrating. I think the other part of it, though, you touched on the NIL and like, maybe you change your offers or maybe the packages are different, whatever. That's the other part of this that I think, you know, I wasn't going to bring this up, but I think it's weird to me, this discussion we have about recruiters. Look, man, it's always been kind of weird. You know, like when people say, okay, you need an elite recruiter, in the old days, what did that mean? A lot of times it was the bag man. Like, it was a lot of times that was the guy who would get it by hook or crook. They were going to get that recruit, right? And so, but we would say, oh, he's a great recruiter. Like, if the guy that got Tennessee into a lot of their trouble was a guy that was like a young assistant coach that nobody had ever heard of. And all of a sudden, all these recruiting sites are saying he's the number one recruiter in the country. Well, how the hell did that happen? Well, it turns out they were cheating and they got busted. And so, you know, that, and in this world now where NIL is a thing and you're not technically allowed to offer NIL packages for recruits, but what they can tell them is, well, I can tell you that the last guy that played linebacker here ended up making $300,000 or $200,000, whatever the number is. Like, that's how they discuss it now, is like, that's kind of what, you know, guys at Florida State, when if you're a starting linebacker, this is what you're probably going to make. Well, is that being a great recruiter? Like, is that, do we factor that in with some of these SEC schools who can obviously offer more money because they have more money to play with? So that's like the other kind of like thing on the fringe of this whole discussion, where I kind of see where Mike Norvell's going. Cause, and again, going back to you, like you pointed out that Chris Marv wasn't a great recruiter. To back up my point, he went and hired Randy Shannon, who's never been seen as a great recruiter.
Right.
So
right.
It's not, that's obviously, that has not been Mike Norvell's like thought process. Now, again, if they don't have a top 10 class again this year and they get played again on signing day and people are, that's an issue, again, to discuss, and Mike Norvell can discuss it. But then I think you have to look at the big picture point and say, well, who's mad about having Mike Norvell as your head coach? It's gone incredibly well. So we're not all perfect. Maybe he has a blind spot when it comes to kids playing him. I don't know. But you know, that when you take the totality of the situation, I think most people are pretty fired up about what they have in Mike Norvell.
Yeah, the thing I would say, too.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Ashley, you'll find colorful furniture that brings your home to life. Ashley makes it easier than ever to express your personal style with an array of looks in fun trending hues to choose from earth tones to vibrant colors to calming blues and greens. Ashley has pieces for every room in the house in the season's most sought-after shades. A more colorful life starts at Ashley. Shop in-store, online today. Ashley, for the love of home.
Just the last point I'd make is NIL is a part of this, and whether you want to discuss it directly or whether you want to color in from the borders and then you get the picture and the outline of what NIL is, you know, you could choose your path, and we all kind of do that dance. But, you know, Solomon Thomas went on record as he left Florida State for an official visit a month ago, and he said, well, I could get a lot more money somewhere else.
Right.
but I want to go to Florida State. Now, is that a negotiation tactic on his part? Is it honesty? Who knows? But I do know from speaking to people who are in this process that Florida State's MO is not to bid against themselves and put them in a position where you're going to, you know, corrode culture, you know, and to get a yes in December. Like, it's just, it's not worth it. The juice is not worth the squeeze. It's not to say they don't have the capital to make something happen. See Keon Coleman or maybe some other things that Florida State has been able to offer in terms
the player of retention that they've done.
They're play exactly right. Like, you prove it, you're gonna get what's coming to you. But I think that's another hard part to your point, maybe to defend any position coach. It's the moving target of what's the market this year.
Right.
You know, how the supply, the demand of a player coming out of high school, what's the going rate? And is that really reasonable? Because what if we pay the going rate for this kid who hasn't proven anything and we bring him into a room, a linebacker room, a defensive back room, that you have a bunch of studs and he's going to be what, elevated as our most compensated player? Like, that's a very tough thing to navigate. And sometimes, from what I understand, Ira, in this infancy of this era, the NIL market is a little bit ridiculous versus other years. Some cycles you can get a guy and it's at a reasonable price because there's a lot of supply. Some years there aren't a ton of dudes, and so therefore the number is outrageous and he might be one of your higher compensated players and he's not going to play for 2 or 3 years. Right. So you've got to make that decision, and that dynamic is something that there'll be books written about, but nobody really wants to discuss on the record right now.
Right. It's hard to exactly. So then how do you factor that into the conversation? And then it sounds like loser's limp if you be like, oh, well, he got bought. Like, everybody will say, oh, you know, that player got more money at that other school. I do think, to your point about Solomon Thomas, is like there's the equation that players, I think, are looking at a lot of times is, what is the NIL opportunity while I'm in college? And also, what can you help me become as an NFL player? Uh-huh. And so that's where a guy, you know, like Solomon Thomas believes Alex Atkins is going to make me a better offensive lineman. He's going to help me in Mike Norvell, and they're going to help me become they look at Darius Washington. I think a lot of players right now, when they're recruiting offensive linemen, they're pointing to Darius Washington was a guy who was not recruited by a lot of schools coming out of high school. He was basically a three-star kind of recruit. Yep. He was not on anybody's really radar nationally. Florida State brought him in. He was first team all ACC last year at left tackle. So, and Mike Norvell says he's going to be an All-American left tackle. So now you're pointing to that. Like, well, this is what we've done. We've taken these guys and done that. So that is part of the equation for a lot of players, but not all of them. Some of them only care about the NIL. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the reality. And I think what we've seen out of Florida State, from what we've heard and watched and witnessed, if a kid is only about the NIL, Florida State's probably not going to win that battle or try to win that battle. Yeah. Like, that's not what they want, because Mike Norvell believes in kind of this big picture approach of getting a team to all buy in and believe. And to your point, like, not having one linebacker making twice as much as the starting DBs are making when he hasn't done anything yet. So that's part of the picture. But like you said, it's impossible to really discuss.
So these are all wonderful points, and still Florida State should make sweeping changes yesterday, Ira. This is ridiculous. it's a good discussion to have, because you're – football, when you're watching it and assessing it, and, you know, I'm an amateur at that, but like if Dominic Robinson or maybe somebody that we're going to bring onto the channel here soon is breaking down a play, you can't, it's like a spider web. You're trying to pull it at a thread, but everything comes with it because it's the ultimate team game. When you're assessing recruiting or the approach of portal versus high school prep recruiting, it's kind of the same thing. Right. There's an NIL thread. There's every kid's weird and different, and every coach has a little bit of a different quirk. It's hard to pinpoint one thread as an issue. Like, I would agree with you there. It's just, over a longer sample size, if Florida State, like you're talking about, is still not coming up with top 10 classes and linebacker is one of the worst position groups there, I think that's, people are going to look for the low hanging issue. And it seems like linebacker is that of the moment, and it's sticking out.
Right. And that's fine. And that's, you know, what I would have said if I did like a preamble to this conversation, and I'll say it here in conclusion, is I'm not trying to like say that I think Randy Shannon's like the greatest linebackers coach in the country, or that they don't have to consider what they've got there. I'm not friends with Randy Shannon, We're not, this is not going to, I'm not getting this, doing this for access. I'm not scratching his back by defending him. I just want to give a more of the context to the picture. And I think we've done that. Like, again, people now, if you've watched this, we've gone on way longer than we expected to go on. You may walk away from this saying, yeah, they still need to fire Randy Shannon. But I hopefully I've brought a little more context to the conversation. I think, and you brought up some really good points as well. So hopefully maybe we've just kind of maybe filled in the picture a little bit more completely. And if people still want to fire the guy, have at it. I just want to add some to the conversation.
Maybe we should, this should be a feature hour. We can call it constructive critics, you know, constructive critics. Right. And then that's
we'll work through it.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Does everybody feel better? I feel a little bit better. This is why communication works, everybody. And this is why we are at warchant.com, one of the outstanding multimedia outlets across all sports, but definitely in this space, number one. So head to warchant.com today for the latest on Florida State recruiting, for the latest as we're turning the page here, Ira. Within 2 weeks will be ACC kickoff. Florida State has newcomers coming up, interviews with four new players on campus for this football season, including my guy, Elijah Moore. That's coming on Wednesday here on the channel. It's $1 for 2 months. This is for you multimedia users out there. Use the code FSU1 if you're a new subscriber to warchant.com. It's $1 for 2 months. Sign up. You will not be disappointed. That puts you into football season. You get on the other side of the Dublin trip and the Boston College game if you sign up today. So we appreciate your consideration. And as always, please throw a like underneath this video and subscribe to Warchant TV. For Ira, I'm Tom. We'll talk to you next time when there's a fire we need to put out right here on Warchant TV.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Ashley, you'll find colorful furniture that brings your home to life. Ashley makes it easier than ever to express your personal style with an array of looks in fun trending hues to choose from earth tones to vibrant colors to calming blues and greens. Ashley has pieces for every room in the house in the season's most sought-after shades. A more colorful life starts at Ashley. Shop in-store, online today. Ashley, for the love of home.